Should a Christian who struggles with mental health take medicine and see a therapist? Katie Dale says absolutely. Whether you agree or don't, Dale's experience with bipolar disorder can give you powerful insight into how to grow your faith in Jesus and cope with mental illness in godly ways. This is Kendra Semin. This episode is packed with encouragement from Dale's personal experiences. Hear how she's using her struggles to help others in need.
Since 2005, BIC Media Solutions has become the leader in helping faith-based industry partners produce meaningful media in the form of books, film, and television. The primary goal for the books and movies are to help enhance lives. The revised edition of It's What We Do Together That Counts includes insights into the successes of more than 100 executives and entrepreneurs. It's What We Do Together That Counts draws upon their life experiences and shows that any form of adversity can be overcome through hard work, perseverance, and kindness to others. The print book is available on Amazon.com and BIC Media, that's B-I-C Media Solutions.com. B-I-C Media Solutions.com. You can also purchase the Kindle version through Kindle eBooks or listen to it on Audible. This is Steve Green on behalf of BIC Media Solutions.
This is Charisma News on the Charisma News podcast. I'm Kendra, and I'll be your host for this special mental health series. Welcome to the show, listeners. Today's guest is Katie Dale. She's known for her blog, bipolarbrave.com, which God has utilized to encourage many people. So, Katie, welcome, and thank you for joining us on today's show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Well, just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go ahead and dive into some questions.
Sure. So I've been advocating for mental health for a few years now. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at 16 years old, and since then I've experienced a couple episodes of severe mental illness, which included some mania, depression, and psychosis. But I take medicine daily, and I've been through therapy, and I regularly, see my doctor and therapist and psychiatrist. So I'm very stable, and I'm able to help reach others who are going through the confusion or the struggle of mental illness and help them along their journey.
That's so inspiring to see how you're already kind of looking back on your struggles and seeing how God is now using you to help other people. I know there's a Bible verse on that where God allows us sometimes to go through hard things so that we can then comfort other people in their trials and struggles. So that's definitely a great way to look at it. And I kind of feel similarly because I've struggled with depression in the past, and now I have this privilege of helping start a mental health podcast, spread awareness for it because I'm passionate about it. So can you just share a little bit about your personal testimony, like how you came to the Lord?
Yeah, sure. So I was raised in a Christian home. My parents were Protestant and taught me the Bible and the path to, knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So I accepted him into my heart at, 5 or 6 years old. But I rededicated my life to him at 13 and was baptized at 15 in my church. And that kind of led me and spurred me on to have a quest or a hunger really to know the truth and to deepen my relationship with Jesus. So in my quiet times, I read the book of John, and I came across John 14:6, and that spoke to me so powerfully at that time, when Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So I took that and kind of ran with it. I put a t-shirt together. I made my own t-shirt where I markered it up, and I expressed that verse on there that said, on the front of it said, "Down with moral relativism," and on the back read, "Up with the truth," and then in parentheses, John 14:6. And, I just really took that to heart because I was looking for truth in my life at that time. I was really wanting affirmation and confirmation that my decision to get baptized, to have Jesus as my Lord and Savior was really the way.
Mm-hmm.
So that really deepened my relationship with him at that time when I was 15, right before I got sick. Also reading the book Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby was a great tool that helped me really see God move in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So your parents were kind of instrumental in helping raise you in the church and with a biblical foundation and all of that, which is great. And I have kind of a similar experience. I got saved when I was really young, don't really remember it, got baptized when I was 6, and then got rebaptized when I was 19, just so that I could make it something where I knew I was the one choosing to do it out of obedience to God, because I was so young and it was more of like something I just grew up in. But then I made it my own as I got older in college. So that's really great to hear that obviously your faith has been really crucial in helping you with your mental health struggles over the years, I'm sure. So is that kind of what inspired you to start your blog, like saying, hey, we need to, A, spread awareness about mental health, but also from a Christian perspective, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And really, with the story that I came together with, going through the hospitalizations at 16 and again at 24, I was part of a writing critique group that is actually an international group now. It's called Word Weavers, based out of Florida. But I was joining that group and then deciding to write a book about the experiences in the hospital. And they, you know, encouraged me as, you know, writers do, you know, you got to write a blog if you want to be an author and get published and get noticed. So I decided on a niche area to be the bipolar and the mental illness piece. And then I thought of Bipolar Brave name because when it kind of sounded catchy, easy to remember, short, sweet. And it represents the bipolar is the mental illness piece. And then the brave part is that going through my experiences, it was very scary. Psychosis is a very scary place to be in. And the faith that I, you know, grabbed onto during that time was really what grounded me. I mean, I was still in a dark place, but it was the light, just enough light to know where to go next in my journey. So if that makes sense.
Yeah,
that's why I started the blog. I've always loved to write, but I wanted to get that sense of normality of, you know, this is real. It's not because of any trauma I really went through. It was just a hereditary thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Christian. I happen to be, you know, both bipolar and a Christian. And I know bipolar and schizophrenia are more of the faction of like 5% of mental illness in general, but it's still a real thing. People are still going to be affected by it, whether they choose it, you know, well, they don't choose it, but whether they experience it or not, they're going to come across mental illness in some shape or form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's something that we definitely need to take the stigma away from, because especially in the church, I feel like there are still pastors and still leaders who believe that medication is the wrong route to go in general, that there's, you know, a straightforward answer that you just need to pray more or have more faith. But you obviously can attest to the fact that medication has drastically changed your life in a very positive way. So I definitely appreciate you sharing your story, because I'm sure there are listeners who are questioning, wow, like I'm really struggling, but is God going to be mad at me if I see a therapist or if I take medication? Because, you know, am I just not having enough faith or not trusting God enough? And I don't think it is an easy, straightforward answer, right? So it's dependent on your unique situation. And obviously for you, you found out at a young age that medication is the right route for you. And can you share a little bit of why you believe that, I guess, the stigma should be taken away from, you know, medication, therapy, all that?
Yeah, that's a great point that, you know, there's still a faction of people in the church that don't believe in medication, which saddens me. But I feel like they're coming from a place of like, well, suffering. You know, Christians are supposed to suffer as a Christian. We're supposed to, or we're believing the enemy's lies. Okay, mm-hmm. We're having this negative mindset and we're believing lies. And okay, so if we turn it into a spiritual thing, there is a difference between what's spiritual and emotional and mental. And when you have the blues and you're going through a dark time or a trial or temptation, or you got a stronghold going on, you know, there is that piece of that spiritual element of warfare.
Mm-hmm.
But to put a blanket statement out and say you don't need medication is very dangerous. And here's why. Without the medication, just in my own personal life, I could either not be here because of it, because of the lack of it. I could be dead. I could be out of my mind. I would not be functioning normal and healthy. And really, the emotional piece, the mental piece there, psychologically, is so, it's a medical illness, mm-hmm. that to ignore that is, the brain is just another organ. You know, you can't equate the spiritual to the emotional and the mental in this sense. I think we get off track when we believe that mental illness is a spiritual rooted thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. And my proof of that is that I take the medicine daily and I don't have psychosis and I don't have the mania and I don't hear the voices anymore. You know, that's proof to me enough that says, no, the medicine is working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's there for a reason. It's a grace of God that he gave the wisdom to the scientists and the doctors, and the pharmaceutical companies, to put it together, and I'm able to be prescribed it so I can work and do everything unto the Lord in a functional, healthy way. I think he wants that. You know, he doesn't want us to diminish it or ignore it. You know, we're suffering in that state of mind when we're depressed or clinically you know, severely mentally ill, but it's not the same type of suffering as we see for being obedient to the gospel. There's a mm-hmm. difference. So.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, because obviously, like you said, we're not going to necessarily be like, oh, I'm just not going to take chemo if I have cancer. I'm just going to try to pray it away. But we know that, obviously, I mean, I can attest to that because my grandma went through colon cancer. She went on chemo. It was really hard, but then she was saved through God allowing her to take the medicine. And so sometimes he provides those solutions to us, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't feel like it's a sin to accept those
Absolutely.
Solutions, because he right. provides the knowledge to the doctors, you know, and the wisdom and all of that. So, yeah, very good points. So did you mention earlier that you have already written a book? I wasn't sure. I know you have your blog.
So I've written my first draft of my manuscript, and I'm working on finishing it. So that's a few drafts through. If you know anything about writing, the book isn't done with the first version. So
yeah, for
but
sure.
yeah, I'm working on that, and that's going to be a memoir coming out. I'm going to self-publish and plan to get that done by March, because
Great.
Yep, I want to tell my story. It's significant in a few different ways to me, and to raise awareness. So yeah.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I'll definitely look out for that in March. And this episode is probably going to be posted in the next month or two, so we'll be even closer for our listeners who are curious to look out for that. So I liked your blog post where you were talking about burnout, and then you were talking about your mental illness. You were talking about, you know, pregnancy and kind of your... You were a little bit, like, concerned at first, but then you were like, okay, you know, my doctor said that it would be okay to stay on medication during the pregnancy, and just kind of, like, working through those emotions and trusting God and all of that. You know, we might have listeners who struggle with mental illness and maybe are pregnant or looking at, you know, is that even an option for me if I, for example, need to stay on medication or need therapy? Like, can I even be, you know, they might just be doubting themselves, and maybe mm-hmm. that is God's plan for them, and he will give them the strength to get through that. So I just kind of wanted you to mm-hmm. go into that a little, you know, see if you can share any encouragement or whatever.
Yeah. So I've struggled, honestly, with the thought of pregnancy for a while. I never dreamt of being a mom. I thought, okay, if I ever be a mom, I'm sure I'll be a fine mom, you know. But it was a decision I kept grappling with for years. Obviously, my husband and I are now 10 years married, and we're finally expecting. But I think I came to terms with it when, you know, I decided in my heart that if we ever got past the age of being able to bear children, I'd probably regret not having children. They're a nice insurance policy kind of thing, too, when you're thinking about down the road retirement and getting older. Who's going to take care of you, you know? Who's going to visit you in the nursing home? I mean, I worked in a nursing home for a while. That's kind of a reality to me. But I thought, you know, besides that, it's seeing life through the eyes of a child is probably one of the greatest things. I don't know yet. I haven't had it yet. But I was just actually thinking about this last night. C.S. Lewis, I think he said, you know, the greatest work isn't ignoring, something along the lines of the greatest work is not ignoring children. He doesn't say it this way, but the greatest work is the children, is, you know, the next generation. That is the greatest thing. And it's kind of like, you know, giving of myself. And it's very, it's been hard. It's been a battle to kind of wrap my mind around, because yes, I know it's selfish for not wanting children. I tell myself, it's like, well, you know, I love this life, just me and him, my husband and I. And it was a place I came to when I decided, you know, we're just going to go without the birth control and see what happens, you know, leave the decision in God's hands. It's a real trust thing. I think it's easy these days to just be like, no, you know, we're going to hold off, or, you know, because we want to prioritize this way in our life. But I think holding on to our, just him and I, we were going to not see as much in life in as many ways as you do when you have a child. Children are an inheritance and they're a blessing. I still struggle with that, but I feel like that's going to be a great adventure, you know? And then as far as going off medicine for having pregnancy, I would absolutely recommend that anybody who's taking medicine for their mental illness or mental health condition, talk to their doctor, their psychiatrist, because that's number one where you need to get your advice from. They know you, like, and they know the medicine. Every medicine is different. Mine happened to be in the safer range, where the defects are like 3 to 5%, which is within the normal, regular scope of risk of defects in any pregnancy. So we went ahead and we decided we would do that. So I have no, actually the pregnancy is coming along well, and we got healthy reports so far, and we're going to find out the gender on Sunday. So we're excited.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely inspired to hear all of that. I think you shared some good advice, some wisdom, because God definitely will grow you through being a mom, and he will grow your character, because obviously that requires a lot of patience. And I love the Bible verse that talks about the kingdom of heaven and children. Like Jesus says, you need to have the faith of a child. And I think that's so beautiful. I'm the oldest of 6 kids, so I've been around kids a lot of my life, helped in Sunday school classes. I love kids. So I think that that's really exciting. I could never have 6, but my mom definitely had an adventure raising all of us, and I think it did really grow her in a lot of ways, because she was a very, very much a career person for a lot of her life, did not expect to have 6 kids, kind of expected to work full time, you know, and just kind of live her life. She was married for a couple of years before deciding, okay, yeah, maybe I'll have kids. But yeah, so that's definitely an exciting thing. And I'm glad that you shared that, you know, from your unique point of view of, hey, like, yeah, you can still, if your doctor says it's fine, you can still be on medication. You can still be a mom and live a normal life and do all of these great things. And, you know, God is going to do some really cool stuff out of just you stepping out in faith. So I wanted to also get into church community. So in your experience, has your church helped you in your journey with bipolar type 1 disorder, or have you had any negative experiences? Just kind of go into that.
Yeah, sure. So I think both, it's helped and it's hurt. When I was 16 and developed at the onset of my illness, I definitely was glad I was in a Christian school that year. I happened to be a part of a Christian community of the school. So when I left to go to the hospital that year for a few weeks, I definitely felt the prayers and the support of my classmates and the teachers and the staff. So there was a intangible but still like present support there. I also think Christian psychotherapy is an extension. I consider that a church kind of based thing, where going to a Christian counselor, you have that biblical approach and biblical perspective to think or to talk through your thoughts and your feelings and get a, you know, very well-grounded, Christ-centered support for that. There's some great Christian counselors out there. You can find them through AACC.net as one good resource. Christian Therapist Network is another. But there are some wonderful counselors that I've had in my life that have just helped me grow and so much through my illness and through other hard times. So I've considered that as an extension of the church. Now, I had times where I didn't communicate very well, and I believe it's a two-way street. But when I was 24, married for 3 years, decided to go off my medicine, I don't completely attribute it to, but there was pieces of my friends that were Christians encouraging me to listen to a particular preacher on the radio. It was all about the name it and claim it. You know, if you have enough faith, you can be healed. So in my mindset, without, you know, well, I talked to my husband and I talked to my doctor, and they both were cautious about it. They didn't agree with me, but, you know, I went off my medicine at that point and was misguided, thinking, you know, my faith, I want to be a poster child for Jesus healing, you know, healing me. And it really took me, blindsided me in a way, but I ended up in hospital again. That was dysfunctional. I was in psychosis again and experiencing hallucinations and delusions. So where was my church at that point? We were a part of a church family. We were members at a church, very large church. And I know I do remember getting some one-on-one time with some friends in the church choir coming alongside me saying, hey, you know, I see that you're suffering or you're going through this, you know, let me pray with you. But they didn't understand I was having a breakdown. So nobody from that church actually came and visited me at the hospital, which, you know, I didn't ask them to. I did, but at one point the pastor come out and see me, but with mental illness and going into a psych hospital, it would have been so encouraging and supportive if somebody had come out and seen me while I was in the hospital. There's details of that where I could go into about the hospital that I stayed in was an hour away, you know, wasn't practical and such and so forth, but you know, my husband and I are military. He's military. Our family, closest family was probably, you know, immediate family was hours away, thousands of miles away. So we didn't have that close support and network that I wish we had. And a church should really be in the spot, ideally, where they're communicating with members and the members are communicating with each other and you have friendships. That's so key, to have friendships. I mean, as simple as that, but to really have a friend who can know you to the point where they know what's going on with you, to say, you know, no, something's off here, and find out clinically if, you know, you're that close, you would know, okay, they have a mental illness, they have a history of this, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to really respond as the hands and feet of Jesus, and just in a practical way, like going to the hospital to see them, or sending them a card, or making a casserole for them, you know, for their family, or seeing what they could, what you could help around the house, if they're in the hospital or if they're not, you know.
Yeah. I definitely agree with all of that. And I think that's just kind of, when you said that, I think it should be a wake-up call to anyone who's listening who is in any type of leadership position in a church, to really be aware of the people, like you said, who are involved in your church. Be aware of what's going on in their life. And, you know, I'm the type of person where I got in a car accident 3 years ago, and I was too afraid to ask for help. I was like, I don't really want people to feel like I'm a burden or anything like that. So I just kind of stayed a distance away, but I didn't refuse help when people are like, hey, I'm coming to your apartment, whether you like it or not, and I'm bringing you food, or I'm going to come wrap up your wounds and things like that. And I had some people who did that, which is amazing. And so I think that the church needs to be aware of, hey, like, the person might not even ask for you to come visit mm-hmm. or ask for your help, but definitely offer it. Be there, be like, hey, I'm going to bring this, like, what do you need? And just be very proactive, because that is what the church is for. Like you said, we're family. We should be. We should all be mm-hmm. supporting one another very closely. And that's why I put such a high priority on me personally being in community group or Bible study, where I'm in a smaller group of people where I can share one-on-one my struggles and get prayer. That's super, super yeah. crucial. So I'm glad you brought that story up, because that's definitely something that I think the church needs to be more aware of. So especially, you know, bigger churches where it's harder mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. know everybody. So another thing I saw on your blog was you facilitated a mental health panel discussion at your church, which I think is awesome. One of my churches in the past did that, and I'm glad more and more churches are realizing the necessity of addressing this topic. Mm-hmm. I've heard a few pastors open up about their own panic attacks mm-hmm. and struggles with depression, and so I'm glad that that's becoming more common, I think, in this mm-hmm. day and age. But what kind of led you to facilitate that panel at your church, and what was that like?
So I've been in contact with Pastor Brad Hafes, and he's the founder of Fresh Hope for Mental Health, which is a support group that's international for mental health, mental illness, and those who have loved ones with mental illness. So we're going to start up a support group here in our church, and I wanted to do a kickoff event, and I was talking to my older brother, who has all these great ideas. And he's like, well, why don't you do a panel, you know, have mm-hmm. a bunch of people come in, psychiatrists, counselors. I thought, oh, that's a great idea to kick off the support group. So that's what I did. I invited Christian counselors in the area and pastors to come and discuss on a panel, you know, the realities of mental health and faith and the church, and how we as the church can support those who are struggling with their mental illness. I mean, it's 1 in 4 people with a mental health condition. So mm-hmm. that's talking, you know, you and 3 friends out of those 4, you know, one of you has something going on, chances yeah. are. So I think, you know, starting there, where we're just open and honest about talking about it, can break down so many barriers and strongholds already. Mm-hmm. Just by talking about it, because if we don't talk about it, we're not acknowledging it, and we're ignoring it, and it's not getting better. It's going to fester.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's really good. And I'm really glad that you helped arrange that, because I think from the pulpit, we don't hear about mental health very much. We don't hear about it very much from leaders and from pastors, and we need to, because right. people in the congregation need to feel like church is a place where they can be open about their struggles, and they don't have to be quiet for fear of thinking that they're in sin or something like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so super great. I'm really glad you're doing that. And before we wrap up, I just wanted to know if you have any additional advice to share with our listeners about staying close to Jesus during the hard times, because I think people have two natural responses where they're either kind of tempted to run away from Jesus, thinking, why would he allow this in my life? I can't believe this. I'm going to be mad at him. I'm going to doubt him. I'm going to stray away from him. Or the other side of it, which I've heard from a few people so far, is, no, I actually get closer to Jesus during the hard times, and I'm actually more intimate with him, crying out to him. So what would you encourage, I guess, for our listeners to keep that close connection with him?
Definitely, you know, daily walk with him is a foundation to that, having the relationship with him. Just trusting him through the trial of whatever you're feeling and whatever emotions you're having, because feelings are feelings. They're just indicators that something else is going on. They're not the truth, you know, necessarily. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's easy to believe our feelings over the truth, but remembering Jesus is the truth. You know, he's going to give us that and lead us to the truth and the Holy Spirit and his word. There's things that Jesus can provide that, you know, the healthcare system can't offer. And mm-hmm. that's an overwhelming sense of peace that surpasses any understanding of what we're going through. So keep that in mind, that he's there. He sees everything we see in our mind or hear, whether it is a hallucination or we can't even tell if it's a hallucination. So on that, you know, severe mental illness side of things, mm-hmm. but, realizing that, you know, he's feeling what we're feeling when we're going through this suffering. Mm-hmm. He's close to the brokenhearted. He knows what we're going through, which to me just, like, caps it off. Like, that's just knowing that is the most powerful thing to me, to realize that Jesus has compassion just, you know, to want to have that relationship where he's close by and identifies with us. It's so comforting, and to know that is so freeing, and to know that he wants us to be well, you know, yeah. and to be healed. Now I struggle with I struggled with that thought of wanting him to heal me. I want to be healed. You know, Lord, heal me. Because I thought it was going off the medicine. Mm-hmm. But he answered my prayers and giving me the medicine. And now I can be healed through the medicine, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. And I hope that for a lot of people, they've realized that healing isn't always signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. It's not always deliverance and a cure. Healing is his grace, is his, you know, when it's sufficient. And I go to 2 Corinthians 12:9, where he says, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, Paul's wondering why this thorn in the flesh, you know, why me is always a question that's very self-centered. But God understands our questions. And if we think about it, that he knows our innermost being, and he wants to make his power perfect in our weakness, mm-hmm. and that his power can rest on us, that means there's a solution, and that he's got that solution in his hand. We just have to trust him for it, whether we know the answers or not sometimes, but he knows everything, and that comforts me. I hope that comforts you, the listeners, because we may not have the answer at this point, but what we do know is that God has the answer, and he's going to reveal that in his timing, you know, whether that's on this side or on the next.
Yeah, super encouraging word. So thank you for sharing that, because I think that sometimes we can get confused and frustrated when we're like, okay, well, God just doesn't care about me because he's not healing me. But no, like you said, healing can come in many forms. Maybe mm-hmm. it's just that God has revealed his presence to you in an overwhelming way. And he has, for me, like you said, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Mm-hmm. There are some times where, for me, I feel the closest to God through worship music, and his peace just overwhelms my entire being. And that's enough to just get me through. And he just sometimes has you stay in the trials that you have he always has a reason. He always has a purpose. There's always a purpose in our suffering when we're following Jesus, and there's always hope, which is, I think, the beautiful thing about faith in Jesus is that, like you said, he understands our weakness and he understands our suffering. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that there is no temptation that we go through that Jesus doesn't understand. So when we pray to him, we know that he's sympathizing with us, and that's also very comforting. So thank you again for sharing all that. And before we wrap up, where can our listeners connect with you online? You know, can you share your blog link again and all that?
Bipolarbrave.com is where you'll find my blog.
Great.
And other resources on there. That'll lead you to my Instagram and Facebook.
So much. All right. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And tune in next time for another episode in our mental health series on the Charisma News Podcast.